Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Bears head coach John Fox joins Hanley and Haugh this morning at 8. Soccer USA beats Jamaica 2-1 for the Gold Cup, and the Chargers get quarterback Cardale Jones in a trade with the Bills. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. The next Cubs game on The Score tonight at 6:35 when the Cubs take on the White Sox on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour of the Mully and Hanley Show brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's the official coffee of the Mully and Hanley Show.
Mully, Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
To a degree, you're starting to look like the team you thought you were going to be. Now, there's plenty of questions about this team still. But given the way they've played and given some of the circumstances around the game,
It changes the conversation.
It certainly changes the conversation in your front office.
Sure it does.
If you're either Jason McLeod, Jed Hoyer, or Theo Epstein, it changes that conversation. Now, you have to look at each other and say, okay, what are we now willing to consider for the next 2 months, given that we don't know what Kershaw is going to be when he comes back. Now, when he came back last year, he was brilliant again. We don't know what the Nationals are going to do about their bullpen. We don't know what Strasburg is going to be. The Astros still have flaws in their rotation. They have health concerns. And now
they were watching Sonny Gray last night, were the Nationals and Dodgers.
Right. Who's your third starter in the postseason?
Well, you have to wait and see where Kyle Hendricks is at.
You
don't have the luxury, really.
Well, you would if you were willing to make a move for a starter right now.
Right.
Again, a starter with under
control.
That's
what I meant. You have 5 days to kind of project and think, okay, well, health-wise, he's there.
You're not going to have enough of an opportunity
right
in the next 5 days to really know what Arrieta is going to be in October or to know whether Hendricks can be Hendricks again. So is that the direction you go? Or do you try to shorten the game by adding another big arm in the bullpen?
Or do you do both if you can afford it?
If you can.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
The ball went hard in center field. Stretch. You can put it on the board. Yes. Yes. Johan Moncada, a bullet out of here right over that center field fence, showing off a little bit of that power that he has.
Mully, Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go! And welcome in, 506 on The Score. You got Mully and Hanley. We're so glad you're with us today. We are down at Bears Camp, live at Bourbonnais, kicking off the Scores broadcast day. Score broadcasting all day here down at Bears Camp. Bears are going to hit the practice field for the first time. And sitting across from me, David Haugh, the fine columnist from the Chicago Tribune, sitting in for Mully, Mike on vacation.
Morning, Brian.
David, morning. How are you?
Doing well. Bright and early. Training camp. I passed my physical.
Did you? Conditioning test?
Conditioning
go okay
test
yesterday?
Later today.
Yeah. Not
later
so much
today.
For Pernell McPhee, but
no.
You got through yours.
Yeah, we're here.
You almost scaled the fence here, too, which was nice.
I'm glad I'm in shape. Yeah, I almost had to scale the fence. Although, that was a long way to the bottom, so I'm glad I didn't have to come to that.
Well, it's great. We have plenty to talk about. Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, and, of course, John Fox, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, who will join us at 8 a.m. this morning, so stay tuned. They had their media session yesterday, and we will have lots of Bears conversation before we get out of here at 9. Cubs and Sox went at it for a third consecutive day, but this time at night. And Johan Moncada, welcome to the major leagues, his first major league home run.
That qualifies as a Sox victory. If you have a prospect homer.
You heard Hawk on the highlight. It
sounded
like
excited.
It was a game changer.
I was glad to hear Hawk excited, though, because we have saw again yesterday.
He doubled down on
He's still ticked off.
Wow. Before the game, he doubled down on the John Lackey stuff, saying it's, you know what, horse bleep, or his version of it, that he wasn't trying to hit guys. But no one was doing that last night. That was in the rearview mirror. And the good news for the Cubs is that they keep winning and they keep taking advantage of the schedule. And they Jake Arrieta, more importantly, if you're concerned about what you have with Jake Arrieta moving forward, third consecutive start. I don't know how much it counts against a rebuilding White Sox team.
It counts.
It counts. Well, that's good. Cubs starters 9-0 since the All-Star break.
That's huge.
That's huge. And
when you talk about, and as you guys were talking all week, you know, everybody wants to know about Verlander. You know, the Hugh Darvish rumors.
Oh boy, Gray. Hugh Darvish last night got lit up.
Yeah, he got rocked. But I still maintain that the starting pitching that commands most of the attention isn't as high a priority as the other needs that they have.
Yes.
And I think the starting pitching since the All-Star break, as you pointed out, 9-0, has been the difference. It's why the Cubs resemble the Cubs again. So the other issues that, you know, your backup catcher, although Caratini had quite a night last
night. Yeah, very nice.
Given Contreras the night off. And the bullpen arm that you are going to need, even though Mike Montgomery looks like he's back in the bullpen, didn't look sharp last night. But those are higher priorities than I think another starting pitcher.
Yeah, and if you're going to have to prioritize it, I'm with you. I'm going for the back end of the bullpen. And I don't know if Theo and Jed are going to pay the premium that Baltimore is going to demand. If Zach Britton's even on the market again, we're at that point where teams don't know if they're buyers or sellers or going to just stand pat, because in the Orioles case, you have an aging owner, and he probably doesn't want to see any semblance of a rebuild at his age. So unless you wow them with the offer for Zach Britton. But there are other guys out there who are available, and I think the Cubs are going to definitely make a deal. We know they're going to make a deal for a veteran catcher. It depends who you talk to. Either Jonathan Lucroy is on or off their list. I'm guessing off.
And how about David Ross? Is he
the national broadcast last night with Rick Sutcliffe and Jason Benetti did a nice job balancing the two teams and giving you a little flavor. And Rick Sutcliffe telling you basically David Ross, the affable David Ross, we loved him here on the Molly and Hanley show throughout last season, was a guy who would get after you in spring training and also throughout the season. And talking to Chris Bosio yesterday, too. Yeah, they miss that guy. You know,
why does that surprise you?
Yeah, it's not just, you know, the guy selling cereal and dancing with the stars. In the clubhouse and behind the scenes, David Ross would get after guys if he saw them not respecting 90.
And they didn't always go over well with everybody.
No.
And now I think it was effective. The two seasons that he was in Chicago, the Cubs won big, and it was part of the turnaround and historic year last year. But I don't know that everybody misses David Ross in that clubhouse. Certainly his presence, you need that sort of that teammate to be that guy. But the persona that you see now wasn't the one, I think, that, you know, he was with teammates, because he had a harder edge, much harder edge. Did you enjoy the Sutcliffe, Ross, Benetti act?
I know where you're coming from if it's an act.
They played up the Cubs Sox.
Absolutely they did.
Time.
And
yeah.
You know,
George Clooney.
Well, no, he was not there, and he wasn't there with the Congress either.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by AutoZone. The Cubs take on the White Sox, and coincidentally enough, the White Sox play the Cubs. That is today's Chicago baseball schedule, and it's brought to you by AutoZone. Hurry in, save big, get a $20 AutoZone gift card by mail-in rebate when you buy select automotive batteries. Restrictions and details apply. Limit 2. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hanley. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hanley starts now.
How many wins would it take for John Fox to keep his job?
Well, if you're going off a number, I would say it would be eight, nine, ten wins, and minimum eight. And if truly you're just evaluating this on wins and losses, I would say playoff team or bust. And I don't think that's the case with John Fox. And maybe you could make the argument that it should be in year three, because we didn't see the John Fox trademark bump from year one, the rebuild specialist. The CEO comes in and turns around the company that's near bankruptcy, and all of a sudden the stock is going through the roof because the turnaround guy is here. But the football version of that is not what we've experienced with John Fox, even though the resume says he's done it elsewhere. I don't know how you quantify it. I guess you quantify it with developing young players, and I'm not so sure what that really means. I guess it means, ultimately, what does Mitch Trubisky look like at the end of the season? But if you're going strictly off wins, I would say you have to make the playoffs, and the Bears are not going to make the playoffs, and I'm not so sure that that's really what is going to be the final decision for the front office when it comes to John Fox. So it's going to be more gray than black and white, and to answer the question, if it's purely wins, six isn't going to get it done, seven's not going to get it done, but the eye test is going to have to tell you. And again, reminding everyone the difficulty of the schedule in the first half of the season, it's going to be awful tough for this Bears coaching staff to keep this team in a contending mindset if they're losing in lopsided fashion. So I don't really think wins matter, but if we're answering the question, I would say over 500 for sure.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to put a number on it, because yesterday Ryan Pace, when he addressed the pressure on John Fox, he used the term progress, which is vague, which is gray, which requires context that we don't have right now. If they're 6-10 and four of the losses are within 3 points or less, and you know they blow two games down the stretch, everything has an explanation, and so we'd have to see how that 6-10 looks. If you want to put a number to it, yesterday John Fox said he's got as much talent as he's had since he got here. That's not exactly a high bar to clear.
It's all relative.
Everything's relative. But if he's saying that they can compete every week in the NFL, that typically means that you're going to be flirting with 500. If you are a team that good, then you should maximize your roster. That said, it should be 8 wins. Should be the minimum in terms of, you know, you have to win this many to keep your job. I don't think it's that high. I think they're going to be looking for reasons to keep him, maybe. But I just don't know that they're going to be anywhere close to 8 wins. So I would think 7-9 or better might keep it. And that's right now the threshold.
Yeah, winning obviously the name of the game. But I do wonder, is there a number? Has a decision been made? Is it even possible to reach that number? So Fox would have to take the decision out of Pace's hands, basically. If you get to 8-8, we're talking about a 5-game improvement over what you saw in this league. A 5-game improvement, that is a huge step forward. I also, they can't be in last place. A third straight year in last place. At 7-9, they could sell 3 years, 3 losing seasons, and they could be 7-9 and in last place. That is possible.
Joe, they could be 1-6 after the first seven, and
they
then
could.
The second half, assuming health, the second half of the season, very winnable games, or winnable games anyway at the back half. So if you get anywhere close to what you're suggesting, that means you went on quite a roll at the end, and that doesn't usually happen in the NFL.
No, not
when
after
you're buried,
you lose your team.
Not when you lose as much as you do in the first half.
Also, John Fox has 1 year left on his contract after this season. That puts you in a trick bag from a front office standpoint.
And that if they were to get close to around 500, something went well with the quarterback position too. Do they believe that this is the coaching staff to develop their franchise quarterback? The guy that they drafted to be the franchise quarterback, or do they just want to go in a different direction? You're going to have to make this decision now. You want to give Trubisky another new offense after a couple of years in the league and going into his third year, when that's when he's supposed to be starting to shine, show you what he can do in this league. If I were to put a number, I'd have to say 8, but I don't see that happening.
It's kind of hard to just put one win-loss record out there and say that's the bar, that's what we need to exceed to consider this successful season under John Fox. I think there are so many other things that go into it. The development of young players, the development of guys like Kevin White and Leonard Floyd, who, in Floyd's case in particular, has shown flashes that he could be a player in the NFL, but he just can't stay healthy. Kevin White, we know he can't stay healthy. What's going to happen with the quarterback position? We have to see the franchise in its current iteration take a step forward. I think that's more important than just, you know, saying, okay, he needs 6 or 7 or 8 wins to keep his job. I think there's way more that goes into it. I think for the purpose of this question, Dustin, so you don't get upset with me, I'll say 7 wins, but, you know, given the fact that they only won 3 last year, even if he doubles his win total, that's still a 6-10 team. So he has to exceed that just a little bit, but it's more important than just the record.
Well, I'm already upset with you, Kevin, because for some reason you
decided
that we
needed the... Do you know I was
wearing
shorts and a camouflage t-shirt today? Is that why?
And probably flip-flops, too.
No, no, I got shoes
And the camouflage t-shirt doesn't have any sleeves on
it's
it.
It's anarchy back in the studio.
Yeah. Okay.
Dean of Discipline is down here in Bourbon A.
I could go in so many different directions, but I'll stop. Thanks for putting the Moncada home run in the open. That was
canceled
that was important.
You're
not trolling or anything.
No, David.
You're absolutely right.
That counts as a victory for the White
yes.
Sox. So I thought nobody's going to remember one Cubs Sox game from July 2017, but everybody's going to remember Yoan Moncada's first home run, Dustin. So Joe,
here we go.
What's
again.
Going on?
I don't know. How are you? What was that about? Did you tweet a picture of wearing shorts?
No, I think he could just sense the fact that I was wearing shorts here.
Did you tell him 10 times yesterday, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow, you're not going to be here?
Yeah, I told him 10 times, and then I told him that the line was going to cut out 10 times as well before 5:30.
So it's become...
Elaborate on John
two,
Fox,
two
please.
2-2? Is that what this has become now? Ray, get a mic. Let's go. See, I just think that as far as the number goes, as far as number of victories, if you get to an 8-win mark and you just have that big jump, unlike what Phil Emery did with Lovie Smith when he got to that 10-win mark, you just kind of take the decision out of Pace's hands. Like, you really can't fire a guy that just won 5 more games than he did the season before. In those first 2 years, you didn't really give him much talent to work with at all.
Are we there yet?
Hey, guys. All right, we're back.
We took our mandated union break. Dustin?
Yeah, so quickly, this is a really interesting question, and that's, I think it's right. It's hard to put an exact number on it. Here's the other problem. I don't think there's anybody on this staff other than Fox that you would want as a Bear fan or as an organization that you would want to be the interim or future head coach of this team.
Vic Fangio.
No, yeah. Maybe as an interim, but not future.
I think he's more
Bears
popular
defense,
than...
Bears defense, yeah. Bears. Now, again, he has
but
to...
Future. He, interim I could buy, well, but not well, future. Well, not future. What, it's got to be an offensive guy.
He's not taking interim. I mean, you in the NFL, you don't have a guy fill out John Fox's contract. Either you give him a 5-year deal or whatever it's going to be.
Well, my point is, if they do start off as many people think, like 1-6, 1-7, on paper the opening schedule is very difficult.
For
right?
a rebuilding team, right. It's pretty brutal. Yeah.
And if they do start off that bad, then I think the Bears, just to satisfy the fans, must fire John Fox at that point.
Things that don't happen in the NFL. You don't fire guys midseason and you know what? They could.
I can't see that happening.
Yeah, they're competitive.
Here's the other problem. What if they go 8-8? Okay, stranger things have happened in the NFL, right? What if they were like right on the verge, the last week of the season, playing for the wild card? Okay, yeah. So they now you got to keep the guy, right?
Now you're talking contract.
That's where I'm going. Contract extension.
If you're 8-8 with this roster, you want to keep the guy.
Sure. And that means Mike Glennon had a very good year.
Right. That means another year of Mitch Trubisky sitting on the bench.
And we're not feeling the way about John Fox the way many people feel today because he got an 8-8 season out of this group.
Right.
If you want to see Mitch Trubisky play, then you need the Bears to start off 1-6. You need John Fox to get fired. Otherwise, you know, this guy might be sitting for 2-3 years.
Next question.
What was your main takeaway from the Pace-Fox press conference?
Well, number one, Ryan Pace came very prepared, reading off notes, consulting his notes. When he was asked about Trubisky, the faith in Mike Glennon is unwavering again. I think they went a little bit overboard again in the way that they expressed, this is Mike Glennon's team, he's our starter. We get it. They don't want to play Trubisky. Everybody understands why. I think you back yourself into a corner if you make absolute proclamations that, you know, he's not going to play. That's not the smartest thing in the world in my book. It's football's competition. We know it when we see it, if a guy is ready or not, typically. He's your third quarterback. But my overall takeaway was there's a lot of confidence. John Fox was in as good of a mood and as confident about this team as he has been since he took over. Whether that's a sell job or not, I don't know, because you can't really take what he says seriously for a lot of reasons. But confidence, preparation and as much optimism as you would expect on day one.
Yeah, again, day one. If you're not optimistic on day one and you are the general manager and head coach of this team, then who would be confident? If you're not going to get up there and at least give the air of, you know, good things are going to happen, maybe not great things, but there's a good season in store. And when you hit the reset button with the quarterback position, that buys it certainly buys the front office time. I don't know if it
I'm
buys...
glad you added just front office.
and that's the dynamic that's going to play out. Maybe John Fox doesn't feel all that much pressure because anything above three wins is going to be gravy. Is that how we look at it? He's going to surprise. 25% of the teams in the NFL go from the penthouse to the from the outhouse to the penthouse on an annual basis. They go from being an also-ran and bottom of the league to a playoff team. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the Chicago Bears' future here this season, but again, if they have that one win or two win first half, and yet he keeps this team together and they are competitive in those games, well, then that schedule is going to break the right way. But David, you said it's tough to keep a football team's collective mindset in a positive manner when you are losing and getting those losses, competitive or not, close or not. The players want to be rewarded for all their hard work, so that's going to be a task for this coaching staff. So my takeaway was exactly what I thought it was going to be. They're ready to go. Now, you know, anyone who was surprised that Mark Sanchez was second on the depth chart wasn't paying attention.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that he's, you know, if there's an injury, that he is one snap away from taking over from Mike Glennon.
We don't even know if he can play yet.
That's exactly right. So we know what Mark Sanchez's role here is with the team. He knows what the role is for the team. It's to help mentor the young quarterback and Mitch Trubisky as much as anything else. So I expected optimism day one. I received it.
It was a lot of what I expected. They are doing their best to defuse a quarterback controversy. Good luck with that after trading up and taking Trubisky number two overall. It was controversial as a draft pick, and now the guy's here. And when you say Bears, the next sentence Bears fans say is, when is Trubisky going to play? And that's going to keep happening every single day, especially
go Bears!
Now that we're in camp. And especially since Ryan Pace rarely speaks, so I'm assuming we won't hear from him for a while now. So you only deal with John Fox, and we completely tune out John Fox because it's the same garbage, just mumbling along and again, which
but
we know
in at eight.
We know we'll get back to that. Except for today at 8.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm just saying, what do we do with the press conferences every Monday and every Sunday after the games?
Well, we're going to get answers from today, so stay tuned.
I'm looking forward to that. So, they did their best. Nice try, Bears. It's not going to work.
Man, so cynical, Joe. What happened to you?
Sorry.
My biggest takeaway was that it was kind of the Ryan Pace show. He was kind of leading the charge. He was getting the message out there, his message. It seemed like he was firmly in charge. And Fox, while seemed like he was in better spirits and maybe some other times, he kind of seemed like he wasn't even paying attention at time. There was a time where he was directly asked a question and...
Oh, you asked me? Oh, I'm sorry. I was sitting waiting for Ryan.
He was sitting there waiting for Ryan. He didn't even know the question was directed toward him. So it seemed like very, very firmly reiterated that Ryan Pace is in charge of this organization. And John Fox, while he's the head coach, and I don't think he'll be fired mid-season, this is a very, very important year for him.
I was really interested in all these new technologies, this idea that they're putting a sensor in the shoulder pads to figure out how many steps they've taken, how fast are the steps that they've taken, are the players maximizing the opportunities presented to them? They're going to be, I mean, it's like a tracking. I find this absolutely fascinating. I also found it fascinating. I know
Zach was going through it yesterday. It was he said that it's going to find out, you know, if they're at their max performance.
Yeah. Right. Speed, like if you're running over like 10 miles an hour,
and the credit rating.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Find out if there's romance fraud.
Romance fraud.
LifeLock.
LifeLock.
Yeah, it does everything but make your dinner.
That was wild. Then there's going to be a C day of practice.
Alexa, make the tackle.
Alexa, make the tackle. We're not going to go hard.
Siri, get me the playoffs.
We're not going to go hard 3 days in a row. We're going to give the guys a day off. Certain guys are going to be on the pup list, but really not on the pup list. The other thing that I was actually...
Do the pup list guys get this sensor?
Yeah. The other thing I was glad to hear is that Kevin White's supposedly ready to go.
Well,
he's not getting special...
Great. We've heard that before.
Well, but no special treatment, no days off.
Right.
Like, they expect him to hit this grass.
Right.
and go. So
unleashed was the word that he used.
Unleashed. Thank you, Kevin.
It sounds like a reality TV show. Kevin White, Unleashed.
I'd watch that.
That's a good question.
Did and should Jake Arrieta's performance Wednesday impact the Cubs' decision to trade for a starter?
Yes and yes, but to what degree, I don't think it's... It should, it did, but I'm not... It better not be a large percentage of their decision because, again, perspective is everything. I'll go, excuse me, with the three quality starts. Jake's looked a lot better, much more efficient. Anytime you take a no-hitter into the fifth inning... In the major leagues, even though the White Sox are closer to a Triple-A team than a major league team right now, it's impressive and it gets your attention. Two hits, terrific, even though one's the home run. But the fact he got into the seventh inning and looks a lot better of late. Again, I'm not. This is difficult for Theo and Jed because you have to make determinations with Jake Arrieta and Kyle Hendricks in particular of what exactly you have here. And it's tough to do with the limited number of starts you have with these guys before Monday's trade deadline. So you take it into consideration, but don't delude yourself into thinking everything's great. It's wonderful the Cubs starters are 9-0 since the All-Star break. Wasn't sure we were going to see that ever given the first half of the season. But now does that make you sit back and say, okay, we're good to go with the starting rotation. Let's just concentrate on the bullpen. I think you have enough assets / money to do both. Get a arm in the bullpen and get an arm in the starting rotation. I'm not so sure they're going to do that, but I would hope that's still on the table.
I don't think that the decision on a fifth starter or another starting pitcher is connected to Arrieta based on how he pitched.
I'm not talking fifth starter.
Yeah,
I'm talking about a guy who slots in, you know, maybe, you know, it's Lester, it's Quintana.
And then the third guy?
It might be the third guy.
You know, I think had he struggled, it might have had maybe underscored the urgency to get that starter. The fact that he has looked like you expect him to look maybe remove some of that urgency. I don't think it will stop them from considering, you know, weighing all these options with Verlander, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think, as we said earlier, that it's a higher priority than the other needs that exist. So I think that Arrieta, looking the way that he has and showing the command that he has shown, is sort of independent of the idea of adding another pitcher that they want to, you know, to put in that rotation, you know, what to jump ahead of the Brewers and to have them ready for October.
Yeah, I actually do think it has to do with their decision. That was Arrieta's last start before the trade deadline coming up on Monday. And if he had a poor start, if he struggled against a minor league offense, people would be freaking out and they would forget about the four starts previous where he's been strong. Now, in five July starts, he has a 2.25 ERA, and we're in that time frame, inside of a week before the trade deadline, where decisions have to be made, and then sometimes you end up changing your mind based on something you see in that final week before the deadline. And if Arrieta's a problem, if he really struggles against this offense, now you're worried about starters 4 and starters 5, and we still have 2 months to go in the regular season, and we're not even factoring in injuries. Which happened. 2 months is a
but
long time.
But he didn't struggle.
No, I know. I'm saying if. It could have. If it goes the other way, the conversation changes, which means I think last night had a big-time impact on it. And it was interesting that they go out and they DFA Brett Anderson yesterday, too. So if something happens, is Montgomery running from the bullpen? Is he in? Is Eddie Butler back up from the minor leagues? What would happen? If something happens at the end of that rotation, all of a sudden the rotation as a whole looks completely different down the final stretch.
It's amazing how we keep moving the goalposts for Jake Arrieta and lowering our expectations about what's actually good, given the fact that he is only going 6 innings into games, the fact that he's striking out fewer batters than any season since 2013, on pace for his lowest WAR since 2013 as well, and... You know, Jed and Theo and Jason McLeod are all looking at these peripheral stats. They don't just see, okay, he took a no-hitter into the fifth against a White Sox team that doesn't even have any Garcias on their roster at the moment. They're all hurt or in Triple-A.
Oh, Garcias.
I know.
Buzzkill.
No Garcias.
Trolling.
No, I'm not trolling at all. I'm laying the facts down for you here, Dustin. Jake Arrieta is a shell of his former self. And just because he has a couple good starts in a row.
Hater.
And like I said, good starts, six innings. You know how many times Jake Arrieta has gone into the eighth inning this year, Dustin? Once.
It doesn't
Probably
matter
why you don't
anymore.
Remember. Oh, it doesn't
were
matter
you listening,
anymore. Okay.
Were you listening to the two pitching coaches? That's not how the game is played anymore. It's basically get me into the sixth inning, and then we'll let the specialist take over. Were you not paying attention?
Are you not listening?
Oh, I was listening. I'm just advising you to look a little bit deeper than the face numbers. Okay.
I did not look at the metrics on it, so that I can't agree or disagree. Listen, I think Joe makes a great point, Joe Ostrowski. If it would not have gone well last night, today it would have been.
Yeah, if he
Sox
got lit up by that
correct,
rebuilding White
correct.
Sox
then
team.
Then the Cubs this
then
morning
panic.
Would clearly be in the market for a starting pitch. Sonny Gray. How about that? Yu Darvish had the Cubs on the no trade list.
I was going to say
how
that.
How about that?
That rubbed
me the wrong way.
He has,
you don't get any of the free agent money then, okay?
He's got,
if you're already on, if we as an organization, I know I'm not part of the Cubs, but as a fan of the Cubs, if you put me, my team, my favorite team in baseball.
10 teams are on this list.
Give me a. Who are
it's
you?
A bizarre list because the White Sox are on there, the Cubs are on there, so apparently he's had a bad experience in Chicago. I get some of these cities.
Who doesn't want to go to the World Series champion?
Yu Darvish. So good. Stay away.
Well, that was my concern because he's a free agent at the end of the season. If you make that trade and then think you're going to re-sign him at the end of the year, I said, asked on the air the other day, does he want to remain in Arlington, Texas instead of staying here? I saw that. The report is there are 10 teams and the Cubs are front and center along with the Red Sox? I mean, what?
Well, it must be the income tax. This is all business.
Well, that's
all business. Somebody, who was it? One of our guests yesterday said what he wants is a big old fat contract.
Well, sure,
maybe,
he's 30 years
and,
old.
And maybe some postseason wins. Maybe.
And you know
but
what?
Big old fat contract is right at
and
the top
Texas
of the list.
Texas has no income tax.
Right.
State
so
income tax.
Maybe that's what it is.
So
but
was
I
that
think,
list made in 2012 when that was the first year of the contract when the Cubs were horrible?
Yeah, and did his agent make that list? I mean, I'd like to know because, look, guys have these clauses and they waive them all the time. Sometimes it takes a little incentive to waive them. And normally it's, you know, an option year that you guarantee or whatever it is. But they're, you know, the Rockies are on this list. I mean, a lot of contending teams are on
this
list.
Right, that's what bugs you about it.
Yeah.
Listen, going back to the question, it was Jake fantastic? No. Is Jake good enough to be the fourth guy, third, fourth guy on a playoff team that pushes? Yes. Yes.
He better be if he expects a payday.
I'm just saying. I think he is right now. I'm not ready for the conversation about what the Cubs should give him and whatever other team gives him, then God bless Jake Arrieta and his family. But last night he did enough that the Cubs should not be worried about the top four of their rotation right this second.
That's an interesting question, Joe.
What should the White Sox do with James Shields?
Prayer helps. I would say innings.
Is there a big enough candle down the cathedral? The light, the $5
no
candle
kidding.
Is not going to get it done.
You know, eat innings, take the mound every fifth day, keep the ball in the ballpark as well as you can, which you know hasn't been very good lately. He gave him four innings last night. That's about all you're going to get
plus.
Anymore. But at the state that they're in, they're not ready to bring up the young kids yet. You need somebody to basically be a placeholder. He's one of those guys. You're paying him what you're paying him. It's reality. You've got to accept that, move on. But there's not really much else you can do.
He said things are starting to feel a bit better, you would hope. But, I mean, really, what does it matter? I guess my biggest concern, and I don't know enough about James Shields, although I do see him, you know, rolling around on his rollerboard, and he, you know, he's like a big kid. He's got all the toys around the clubhouse, and he's skateboarding around the lower level of the cell or the guaranteed rate a lot of times. Does he mentor these? If really his role now is a very high-priced mentor, he's going to help you get the high draft pick the way he's pitching. And he was pitching, what, he had almost a one ERA before going on the DL for the latest episode. And since then, it's been horrific. He's been 10-plus going into last night, and last night didn't help, or 8-plus in the ERA. So, I mean, if he's a good guy to have around with young pitchers who are going to start coming up here as we move here through the second half of the season, great. He's not going anywhere. You got no value. You couldn't give him away with that contract. I know the Padres are paying a good portion of it, but even what the White Sox are paying, you couldn't pay enough of that to get some other team interested in thinking, you know, Big Game James is still that guy somewhere in there. There's going to be a game or two that he's going to help a contending team win. So I hope that he's good enough in the clubhouse and in the pitching room that he can help young guys, because he is who he is right now, and it's not very good.
You keep trotting him out there every fifth day. No question about it. He's the number one starter in the rotation, right? If there is one, I guess.
Yeah, and sure. And unfortunately, you don't know what the rotation is moving week to week.
Now, when they do finally call up Ronaldo Lopez, and Han said again yesterday, he's really close. They've been saying that publicly for a month. So we know what the game that they're playing is right now. So when he gets called up, the guy going tonight, Pelfrey, he's probably the guy that gets removed from the rotation. But as long as he's healthy, he's going to be starting every fifth day for the rest of the season.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. I understand that they are paying him more money than they're paying a guy like Mike Pelfrey or Miguel Gonzalez or pretty much anybody in that rotation right now. And I understand the fact that he has taken on a little bit of a mentor role from what I've heard, you know, helping some of the young guys and the young pups come up in the game a little bit. But what Ronaldo Lopez is doing in Charlotte right now is just, he's untouchable. He is clearly well beyond that level. I think they're doing him a disservice if they keep him down there for another couple of starts. So I think if Shields continues to trend in this direction, and that ERA is up near 6 now, and he's looked so bad since coming back from the DL, I think you could possibly see a DFA in his future, because similar to John Lackey, I don't think he's pitching out of the bullpen either.
Believe it or not, I actually agree with Kevin. I think Kevin just made some fantastic points. I think they've got some guys in the minors that are part of their future. And I think,
well, there's speculation with Swarzak being traded that Lopez was coming up.
Right. But my point is that James Shields is not part of their future.
No.
So these are just absolutely just wasted opportunities for somebody else to get a little taste of the big league level. I don't know that I'd DFA him, but I might sit him down, skip a start. Maybe they make
DL.
It into a six-man rotation over there.
The old 10-day DL. All
right, to not wear guys down.
He fell off his rollerboard.
But DFA wouldn't surprise me.
I'm not normally a fan of the six-man rotation, Dustin, but I think in this case you make a good point, because none of these guys can go deep in the games.
Right, and don't wear them out. Don't just waste the innings.
You're wearing your bullpen out. Right. I mean, that's the thing. Right. At some point, you're not going to have enough guys to get. If the next guy can't get through three or four, who the phone's ringing and no one's answering.
David
the bullpen.
Holmberg can answer the call, Brian.
Always.
Kofi's coming back, right?
Man, that's a tough question. You asked me a tough question last week.
You're damn right I did. Too.
You got the tough one.
I don't think Dylan Covey's coming back now. Is there a player available on the trade market that would put the Cubs in a much better position to get back to the World Series?
Yeah, no doubt, and it's Zach Britton. But I think that will cost you someone off the Major League roster, and that's somebody. Look, Theo said they were so happy they didn't have to do that to get Jose Quintana. So what has changed in 2 weeks? Well, what's changed in 2 weeks is the Cubs are now 9-2. And now in first place by a half game over the Brewers, who collapsed late last night. So if it's Albert Elmora Jr., and I'm a big fan, but it just seems like he's a man for some reason that Joe's not exactly embraced. He plays him. He almost does it begrudgingly, and he's limited into a platoon situation. I think you could part with him given Ian Happ's development.
Man, did I screw that up.
No, you didn't.
You think that's going to get you Britton?
Oh, no, it'd be plus. It would be Albert Elmora plus some prospects. I mean, it's not a one-for-one, no matter who you're trading here. You know, Javi Baez for Zach Britton's not getting it done. Addison Russell, that's what the premium you're going to pay for this. So you're in that situation again, but the good news is he is under control. He's arbitration eligible each of the next couple seasons, so it's not the Aroldis Chapman rental.
Right.
You're giving up a premium price, but you're going to be sure assuming health, and health is an issue because he was out a couple months with an arm issue. So assuming the health checks out, I think you have to be seriously looking at Brad Hand, apparently, with the Padres, which would be a perfect dance partner given the Cubs' relationship, Jed's relationship with the Padres. The owner all but said that he's more value to the team than what's being offered, so they're going to keep Brad Hand.
Yeah, I think those are good points, Brian, and certainly Britton is be plan A, but I just don't know if it might be in a position to give up anybody for the Major League roster. Cubs may not want to do that. Maybe A.J. Ramos is a guy down in Miami that you could see maybe a little bit more attainable under team control.
You can get both A.J.'s, Ellis and...
Well, if it's a package deal, you could make the argument that both of them make you better,
yep,
both in the clubhouse and on the field. because of AJ Ellis's reputation. Ramos has got a contract through next year, I think, to 2018. One of those guys, I think, would be a good addition, and maybe they would make the impact that you're looking for.
Yeah, Zach Britton is the only guy that I identify as a game changer. He would really give you an advantage over some other teams in playoff baseball in the seventh and eighth innings when games are won and lost. Now, what I found interesting, was Jerry Krasnick, ESPN, yesterday reported that the chances that Britton gets traded is growing slimmer by the day, that a market for Britton just hasn't developed. So what that tells me is teams are really scared about this injury. They're not sure about his health, or the price is way too high. The Orioles aren't sure that they want to sell, and they're just setting a price at a ridiculous level. If you knock us out, oh, fine, I guess we'll make a move here. But I don't know what their plan is. I don't know why they aren't considering selling.
Well, Peter Angelos is well into his 80s, right? And like the speculation with the chairman, people think that he just can't stomach a rebuild, doesn't want to sit through a 3 or 4 year bottoming out and seeing where that goes. And there were reports now emerging last couple of days that Jerry Reinsdorf sat on the Quintana stuff for a couple of days to even greenlight the idea of making that trade. It wasn't something he made a decision in a few minutes. He really had to kind of consume the idea that this is where they're going.
A position the Sox were not in, though. You have Manny Machado, who's probably going to leave in a little over a year from now because he's going to get in the neighborhood of maybe $400 million. Their leader, Adam Jones, out in center field. He's a free agent in a year, and he's going to be 32 at that point. What do you do there? You could see, if you went down that road, you could see Almora taking his spot in another year. The move would be Zach Britton, but again, the Cubs would have to trade off the major league roster, and I think with this brass right now, that is a no-go.
I think the price for Zach Britton is going to be way too high when you look at the hauls that similar relievers like Chapman and Miller brought in last year. I don't know if teams want to give up that big of a haul for a guy who does have injury concerns all of a sudden, like Joe mentioned, who I think only has one more year of control after this season. So I don't know if the asking price is going to be met by anybody. The Marlins idea is intriguing, David. The 2-for-1 AJ deal, a couple of more under-the-radar type players, not exactly huge names, but certainly positions in which the Cubs could strengthen.
Chemistry guys.
Definitely, definitely. AJ Ellis in particular has got a great reputation for leadership, mentorship, whatever you want to call it. And I think you will see a move for the bullpen to be solidified here, similar maybe to what happened last year with Mike Montgomery coming over. I mentioned this a couple days ago. Nobody knew who Mike Montgomery was last year, and then he turned out being a huge contributor for the Cubs in the playoffs. So I think you will see a move to solidify the bullpen, even if it is a guy like Ramos, who we know, or a guy like last year Montgomery, who we didn't know. I think Theo, Jed, Jason McLeod are going to be on top of this one.
Well, I think the idea of the two players from Miami coming is interesting, and I don't think it would take all that much to get them. But Joe, what you said, and I agree, I mean, Zach Britton's the guy that's the ultimate game changer here, right? He's the guy.
The question is, much better position to get back to the World Series, not just adding guys or mentors or leadership
guys. And
by
answering that, the question, it's Zach Britton.
That's it.
It's Zach. But you know what's interesting, though? And we all love playing fantasy sports. Let's play fantasy GM for just a second, okay? And this is based on what Joe just gave me this idea when he talked about Machado and Jones. Do you think, because of contracts and rebuilding and all that stuff, do you think, and we being the Cubs, have kind of pulled some things over the Orioles in the past, how about Jones and Britton for Almora Jr. and Candelario?
No, you have to go more never than that. In 100
million years. Yeah, you have to go more
years.
Than that. But,
they would never do that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, would you throw
and
Ian?
And where's Machado playing?
No, I would not throw no, Ian Happ in that. I would not throw Ian Happ in that.
I said Britton and Jones. Yeah, not Machado. Yeah. But I'm saying Jones is older, coming out of contract. Would you Almora Jr. and Candelario? Now you just got two pieces of a future outfield.
I don't think anybody wants Candelario.
Okay, I think Candelario is the piece for Miami, though. That might be the 2-for-1 there. But listen, to answer the question, it's Britton, it's Britton, it's Britton, it's Britton.
All right, that's our 5 at 5.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.